The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Let's get wild. Let's get limber. Really stretch it out. Is there anything that LeBron James can do, given any timeline, stretched out over any horizon? Is there anything LeBron James can do to catch Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can answer that question. Is there anything the king can do to catch the GOAT? At 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, let's have fun. It's Friday, and it's time for our homework. After a weekend, and we're not complaining here, but of very serious psychological thrillers, this week's homework, road trip movies. What's the best road trip movie? You can contribute to that brainstorming session before we draft in the third hour at 888-729-3776. Let's have fun before we fight. Because while I went in on Blake Snell, it's now time to go in on Bryce Harper. But I'm always accused of being a toady for the billionaire. Stan Kroenke has asked for some money out in L.A. because times are tight when building a multi-billion dollar stadium. And that has caused some tension on the Will Cain Show. But don't worry, as we always do, we're going to air that out live on air. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Lincoln Riley was on a conference call yesterday. The Oklahoma head coach addressed a conversation that we have addressed over several weeks. And that is, when does college football come back? There are some proposals, and notably next week, the SEC is going to vote on a proposal to bring athletes back on June 1st. Lincoln Riley, he's not here for it. Listen.
I mean, all this talk of these schools wanting to bring players back on June 1st is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. And so we got to be patient. We'll get one good shot at it to bring them back at the right time when we're as prepared and know as much about this as we possibly can.
Lincoln Riley saying there will be a time when we will have sufficient information. There will be a time when perhaps even we'll have perfect information, and that will be the one shot we have to come back. I humbly disagree. I don't say that sarcastically. I mean that. I humbly disagree. We are never going to have complete information. We're never going to have perfect information. This is one of the most mysterious things I can remember in my lifetime. I think it is one of the most mysterious things, and I don't think this is an overstatement, of the last century. We know nothing about coronavirus. We don't know how contagious it is. We don't know how the morbidity rate stands. We don't know if you're immune. We don't know if it comes back. We don't know much of anything. But we do know we're going to have to come back, and we can't wait for the perfect and allow it to become the enemy of the good. We will never arrive at perfect. We'll never arrive at 0% infection rate. We'll never arrive at the perfect reduced risk opportunity. I think the lesson, as I pointed out several times, will come from a place like the UFC, where moving forward will be a process of not aim, fire, but some fire, aim. Jump in, start swinging. Solutions are found in the fight, not in the pre-planning. I humbly disagree with Lincoln Riley. And we'll talk about that more a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show, because I know there's people on this network that disagree with me. But that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I was listening to First Take this morning, and I was surprised, by the way. Bill Simmons, founder of The Ringer, formerly, of course, here on ESPN, was on First Take. I get the note, the email in the morning. You can see what the rundown is, and I think it's been some time. It may have been ever since Bill Simmons was on First Take, so I was intrigued. He was on talking about The Last Dance, and he brought up something interesting. I don't remember if Molly, or rather Laura, who was filling in for Molly today, asked him this, or whether or not he was just expounding at large, but the idea of, can LeBron James ever catch Michael Jordan? And Simmons brought up a frame, maybe even a time frame, that made me think for a minute. Is it possible? Listen to this from First Take.
he's got to beat him with time. It's got to be a thing where he is still succeeding in his third decade as an NBA player, and the totality of his resume, we just look at it and we go, he just had a better career. Like it's just unassailable where Jordan plays basically peaks from 87 to 98, but takes a year and a half off for baseball. If LeBron is still going, you know, in year 21 and 22, the numbers are just going to be insurmountable at some point from a career standpoint. So I think it'll turn into two different arguments. It'll turn into whose apex was the best and then whose career was the best.
Let's talk about what that would look like for LeBron James. It's not out of the question, right? First, we see Brady with his dedication to his body and discipline extending his football career much further than we ever anticipated a football career being extended. I don't think it's by any means beyond LeBron James' capability, discipline, and commitment to his health to do just the same thing in a basketball time frame. You know, cryogenic chambers, better diets, better exercise, blood spinning, who knows? Whatever's out there. I would suspect that not just LeBron, but many athletes are going to be extending their careers much longer. So let's give LeBron, as we're stretching out here, a big time frame. I mean, what? What is LeBron right now? 35? Easy five more years, right? To 40? Why not? Plus? I mean, is it crazy to think a basketball player could play that long? If a football player can play that long? The point is, if you start stretching out that time horizon, what can be accomplished? Well, as Simmons is talking about, the career totals are going to get ridiculous. So right now, the NBA's career scoring leader is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Jabbar has 38,387 career points. That's stretched out over 1,500 games, 1,560 games. I believe that's about a 24 point per game average. Well, LeBron's third. Karl Malone stands between Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and LeBron. LeBron's third at 34,000 points. He's done that in 1,200 games, averaging 27 points per game. So if he played the 300 some odd more games that Jabbar has played, he'd score 8,000 more points. And he'd be at 42,000. He'd be well above Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in career points. But we know surpassing Jordan's not about career points. What else can be accomplished in that, let's call it, 7 years? Well, he stands at 3-6 in the finals. Could he win three more? I've always said that's the minimum bar. So then he has six and Jordan has six, and the six that he lost don't look as bad on his resume because, look, if you have the same total of wins, then the losses mean, well, at least you were there, right? You don't penalize somebody at that point for being there, especially when the same number of wins. So does that change the GOAT argument? I don't think it will. I don't think it will happen anyway. I don't think he's going to get three more championships in his career, but I also don't think it will change it. And I'm going to give you two different items, two different pieces of evidence as to why I don't think it will ever happen. First, here's some stats. This came from Bob Sturm. He writes for The Athletic as a radio host in Dallas, Texas. First, here we go. Playoff games. LeBron James, 239. Michael Jordan, 179. I just want you to hear this out. Playoff games scoring fewer than 20 points. Michael Jordan, 6. In all those games, and he has fewer than LeBron, only 6 times was he less than 20 points. LeBron, 25 times less than 20 points. Let's keep going. How about 15 points in a game? Michael, once. Once in all his playoffs. LeBron, 12 times. And then finally, in a finals, scoring less than 15. LeBron, in the finals, 3 times. By the way, his team goes 0-3 in that stretch. Michael Jordan, 0 times. Never scored less than 15 points. Or, by the way, 20, which LeBron James did 8 times in a finals game. Never. Never did Jordan not show up in a finals game. That's evidence number one. Here's evidence number two, and this is a quote from Chauncey Billups. Works at ESPN. He said this, quote, "My thing is, Jordan kept so many Hall of Famers from getting rings, from Ewing to Barkley to Malone. Nobody ate when MJ played a full season." And then this is underlined, "Everybody got rings on LeBron's watch. That's the difference." It's pretty stark. You put those two together. Who in the finals ended the pursuit of other Hall of Famers? Who in the finals always showed up? and who in the finals cannot say the same about what they did to other Hall of Famers or when they did and did not show up, even stretching it out over another 10 years. I don't think LeBron James can catch the GOAT. But you can let me know what you think, 888-729-3776. Bryce Harper had Blake Snell's back. $2 million ain't S to play baseball. Not for 82 games, not for 3 months of work. A lot of people out there in essential services probably surprised to hear that. As you're on the way to the hospital or to pick up the garbage or whatever it is you do for a living and you don't stop in the middle of stay-at-home orders, it might be a little bit surprising to hear $2 million, $3 million ain't S to play baseball for 3 months. But hey, what do I know? Everybody else seems to think that we're losing humanity in asking these baseball players to play ball. And I got somebody on the show a little bit upset with me. Let's see if we can air it out. Our dirty laundry next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Blake Snell said he's not playing for $2-3 million, whatever it may be, for 2-3 months. That ain't S. And Bryce Harper has his back. And that's insane. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into the conclusion of The Last Dance this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Let me hear from Jermel in Long Island. What's up, Jermel? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, how you doing, Will? Yeah, man, you know, my thing is this, man. Everybody keep talking about how LeBron can't catch Jordan, LeBron can't catch Jordan, but we seem to wipe out all of Jordan's years that he lost before even getting there. Like, it's just like one big wipe. Like, Jordan is the Jesus of basketball, which is wrong. You know, Jordan got whooped by a lot of people, you know, and let's not forget the Celtics. Let's not forget destroyed him 3 years straight. Like, why do we wipe that out? Like, why do we just get rid of his record of getting whooped every time? But every time it's LeBron, everybody brings up every little thing LeBron did. Oh, that one game in with Dallas, LeBron didn't, like, come on, man. One game and versus
Jermel,
Jordan not even getting there.
Well, Jermel, it's true that Jordan had to climb his way to the top of the mountain, but once he got to the top, and I appreciate the call, he could not be knocked off. It's true that in the early years of his career, when he had very little help, and let's not do this thing like Jordan had Pippen when LeBron had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Let's not do this thing like Jordan should have done it when he had nobody. As he climbed his way to the top, the Celtics, and then the Pistons, and then the Eastern Conference, and then the Finals, he couldn't be beat once he got there. That's something different, and he always showed up, and I gave you the stats, and you cannot say the same. You simply cannot say the same for LeBron James. If LeBron does what I suggested, if we drag it out over the horizon over the next 10 years, and he can rack up more career points, and maybe even a few more titles. What does that do for LeBron? Where does that put LeBron? What I would say to you is this. It won't put him past Jordan, but it might put him past Kareem for second. Let's talk about baseball. Yesterday I mentioned Blake Snell, one-time Cy Young Award winning pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, was on Twitch where he said that he would not be coming back to play baseball for a 50-50 revenue split, whatever that meant for him, not just a prorated half of his salary, he makes $7 million a year, but reduced, for presumably reduced revenues, with no fans in the stands for the owners. Then he's looking at some kind of, I don't know, $2.5-3 million type of salary for 82 games for 3 months of work. And according to Blake Snell, the risk is through the roof. It's literally to his life. No, it's not. And $2-3 million for 3 months of work ain't S. It's a little shocking to hear that considering 40%, 30% unemployment wherever we're approaching right now and plenty of people doing essential work for $30,000 a year. This is a bridge too far to pitch a baseball. But Bryce Harper, Phillies outfielder, had his back. Listen.
Yeah, I love Snell. That's my guy, bro.
He said if someone gets it, they got to live with that for the rest of their lives.
He ain't lying. He's right.
He's like, I need my. He's like, give me my money, or I'm not saying.
Hey, bro, he's speaking the truth, bro. I ain't mad at him. Somebody's got to say it. At least he manned up and said it. Good for him. I love Snell, man. He's a beast too. The best lefties in the game, bro.
It's Bryce Harper playing video games on Twitch/BryceHarper3. I don't know that it's manning up to say you won't go play a sport for $3 million for 3 months of work. These guys keep negotiating against what's perfect and ideal, what was, for an economy that existed 3 months ago, in the before time, that economy. What they don't realize they're negotiating against is a new time, where the negotiation isn't against a billionaire, it's against a virus. And what you're negotiating against isn't your $7 million salary previously, but the zero of not having baseball. Antoine in Frisco. What's up, Antoine?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, Ms. Kane? I just got to put it to you, plain and simple, this. When I hear your callers, I hear a bunch of jealous fat dudes that work at a construction site getting jealous of a guy that want to get his money. I'm sorry. You go drywall. It doesn't work that way. These guys are top athletes that's made sacrifices through their lives to become that. I can't help it. You don't have a 4-4, and you can't hit a 500 feet home run. That's not my fault. They should get paid. No one's telling the supermodel that she can't get paid and she can still do a centerfold. So stop it. It's ridiculous.
Okay, Antoine, I'm going to tell you what's ridiculous. Everything that just came out of your mouth. Here's what I would say. You don't think that guy doing drywall made sacrifices? You don't think that guy driving to work, whatever you're doing, Antoine, right now, I'm sure you do something fairly noble with your life and have his way to feed your family, has made sacrifices? No, no, no. The difference isn't always sacrifice. The difference often is talent. Now, I'm not going to take away from Bryce Harper or Blake Snell the work that they put in, but don't dare take it away from the dude headed off to do drywall as an essential service, risking coronavirus for much, much, much less money. You can hear it in my voice. I find it more than offensive. I find it more than offensive. And these guys saying they got to get their money, what they got to realize is their money was yesterday. Welcome to today. Welcome to the new world. Welcome to the idea of no baseball, fans in the stands. Welcome to a new economy. You want to play video games on Twitch talking about the $7 million you used to make while you're racking in zero? Have fun. You might rack up some fans on Twitch who idolize you in the way that you did just now, Antoine. And we all like athletes. I do. I root for them. I love their success stories. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like because you are naturally talented and have made some sacrifices and made ungodly amounts of money that you never have to take a cut again in your life, no matter how the world changes. That's crazy time, man. But there are people that agree with you, like my supreme leader. Nuno got on me today because Stan Kroenke needs an extension on his loan, an increase on his loan to finish his stadium in L.A. And to you, Nuno, what did you say? It's in my DNA. It's in my character.
No, I need to go ahead and attack
the billionaire the way I did the millionaire.
No.
It was tense.
I don't know. You got all a little uptight. I said to you, hey, are you going to get on Kroenke for asking for more money to build his stadium? And then you said, oh, I'm going to look at the story, blah, blah, blah. And then you came at me because you're like, oh, look at you. It's all about defending the millionaires versus the billionaires. And then you're like, I'm going to go after you and Harper. I'm like, yeah, it's in your DNA. It's always millionaire bad, laborer bad, owner's good.
Nonsense.
Like, you're a little cavalier question about, like, when Snell says it could affect me in the long term. And you, like, just, oh, it's, no, it's not. Like, we don't know that. Like, so okay. That's a cavalier comment.
Time. Well, it's one I didn't make either.
You did. You actually did say that.
I actually did not.
Yes,
I'm giving
you
all the time you need to go ahead and pull that clip because you're putting out fake news and it's nonsense. I made a Cavalier comment about whether or not he was taking his life into his hands. That's the odds on morbidity of him dying from this, like he said. That's what he said I made a snide comment in response to because it's absurd. I didn't on whether or not it could affect his health. I know I didn't because I don't believe that. We don't know the long-term ramifications of coronavirus, so something I don't believe wouldn't come out of my mouth. It would not. But what you're doing is millionaires good, billionaires bad, because I'm arguing for reality, not the billionaire. I'm arguing for the idea that if the business isn't viable, the millionaire doesn't get squat. If there's not a going concern, an ongoing business that runs in the black, then you don't get your not just $7 million salary, but you don't get your $3 million cut. You get zero. Zero. That's how paychecks work. I don't argue for the billionaire. I argue for reality of what it takes to keep a business as a going concern. You just think it's a zero-sum game. I think you think there's a big pile of money out there, and the billionaire has the 4-4 speed in the economy, and he got to it first, and the millionaire, faster than the rest of us, got to it second, and we got to it last. I don't think that's how it worked. I think it was a process of creating something valuable in an economy where people are willing to pay for it, and you got to keep it that way so everybody keeps getting paid. But welcome to 2020, where all of a sudden everything is going in the red, not the black. It's in reduction, not in gains. And you can't sit on Twitch and talk about your money and getting yours because yours is gone. That's what I think. I'll run it by Mike Tannenbaum next on The Will Cain Show.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Y'all remember that conversation we had yesterday about Russell Wilson, and Tim Hasselbeck told us it's true. In 18, they did consider trading Russell Wilson. Kind of blows our minds, right? How's that possible? I'm wondering, how often does it happen we don't hear about it? Big-time, inconceivable trades. They're at least discussed. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We could run that question by ESPN, NFL, front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, who's on our show right now. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Will. How you doing?
I'm good. So yesterday we did this story, Mike, and Tim Hasselbeck was on the show, and he said, let me just interrupt you. It's true. It's true that the Seahawks did ponder, consider, talk to other teams about a potential trade involving Russell Wilson. And I think some doubted it, Mike, because they're like, oh yeah, one of the biggest players in the league was possibly going to be traded and we just didn't hear about it for 2 years. And then other people are like, how could you possibly consider trading Russell Wilson? You're the perfect guy to ask this to. How often do you think that happens in the league, or you know, that, I mean, a guy we all think of as untouchable or inconceivable would be traded, it's actually been rumored or talked about behind the scenes. Has that happened more than we think?
Oh, absolutely. And really what happens is it starts at the combine and you sit there and you meet with all the teams, and that's really where trades start forming. And a couple of years ago, I traded Jarvis Landry to the Cleveland Browns, and it just happened that John Dorsey, the then general manager of the Browns, was next door to us. You know, his suite was next to ours, and those conversations really begin very organically. And for every trade I made in my career, including the big, big ones like trading for Brett Favre, there was probably 20 to 25 conversations that never manifested itself. But I'm sure some of those things happen. It's rare that they come to the surface like they did, but boy, that makes for an interesting discussion, Will.
Yeah, let me follow up. Mike Tannenbaum here on the Will Cain Show. What can you tell me the biggest name that you was ever bandied about? And you can tell us with what level of seriousness, because I don't know if y'all are talking about over a few rum and cokes and going, can you imagine? Or what would it take to get so-and-so away from you and it's not scoffed at? You know what I mean? It's not, get out of here. I mean, a serious, like, huh, we'll see if we can figure out. What's the biggest name that would blow our minds that something like that took place, a conversation like that took place?
Yeah, well, I would go back to Favre from a standpoint like he was an all-time great Hall of Fame quarterback, and it all started with, you know, reading about some alleged discourse in the Green Bay organization between him and Rodgers and front office, and I made a call to Ted Thompson and John Schneider, who was the then assistant GM of the Packers, who now does a great job as the Seahawks GM, and we were, after like maybe, I don't know, a month of discussion to actually get that one landed. So, like I said, it happens all the time. I saw Drew Bledsoe. I mean, this is incredible, Will. Drew Bledsoe signed a $100 million contract extension with the New England Patriots and then was traded within a couple of years of that within the division from New England to Buffalo. So when you see a $100 million quarterback get traded within the division, literally anything can happen. And then we saw more recently than that, Donovan McNabb, quarterback of the Eagles, gets traded to the Redskins. So I do think, really, fans would be shocked how often these discussions actually happen.
Talking to Mike Tannenbaum here in the Will Cain Show. Let's go back for a moment to the Favre thing. So you said it took a month. The first thing you did is you saw a report about Discord, and it just kind of popped in your head. I wonder, do you think they would part with Favre? Is that kind of how the idea sparked? And then, but while you're answering that, please answer this as well. When you first dialed up Green Bay, what did you think the reaction would be? Did you think there was a chance you'd just get laughed right off the phone?
Yeah, well, two things. One, we had a good, not great quarterback at the time, and Chad Pennington, and I'm like, there's a 1% chance that this is ever going to happen. There's no way Brett Favre would ever be a New York Jet. It just couldn't happen. You know, he's going to retire a Packer, and I'm sure this discourse is just, you know, silly media fodder. And, you know, one conversation led to two. You know, brought our head coach at the time, and then Eric Mangini called Woody Johnson, our owner, and it was incredible, Will. It went from 1%, and it stayed at like 10% for quite a while, and that's part of your responsibility as a leading an organization is you are constantly looking for ways to improve your team. And
hey, Mike,
going back
Mike,
to the Russell Wilson.
Real quick, Mike, is that you call Woody Johnson and go, listen, I don't know yet if we're going to be able to pull this off, but there's a chance that we could trade for Brett Favre. And he goes, get out of here. How's that go?
Yeah, right. Is it part of management to manage up and manage expectations? And I just always try to be as transparent as I could to say, hey, this is a long shot, but just so you know, like, we have spoken in Green Bay. It's doubtful, and when it becomes questionable or probable, we'll circle back here. But just so you know, we have made the call, and we'll go from there. And then, you know, sure enough, like, it wasn't a no. And, you know, we thought the whole time that he was going to get traded to Tampa Bay because he was living in Mississippi. He played for John Gruden at Green Bay. John was his offensive coordinator. He was then the head coach of the Buccaneers. So we thought that even if he ever was traded, we had no chance. So it made for a very fun and inconceivable 4 weeks of my life, Will. But again, that's your responsibility. Your job, if you're the Cleveland Browns and you have the first pick in the draft, you're sitting there saying, is Russell Wilson a better football player than Baker Mayfield? And I'm sure in that building it was a unanimous yes. So I could see why that discussion would actually take place.
From the Cleveland side, sure. It's the Seattle side that's kind of mind-blowing.
Well, I'll tell you one thing where, you know, where they've been interesting. If you trace Schneider and Pete Carroll, they've had a bunch of quarterbacks come through there. So, you know, they really, to their credit, backed into Russell Wilson, who was a third-round pick, but they signed Matt Flynn. They brought in a couple of other quarterbacks along the way. So from my state, I could see them at some point looking to bring in another quarterback. Just that's kind of been their nature. And you know, John Schneider learned from Ron Wolf. It was literally a quarterback every year. So if you could get the first pick in the draft and something else, I'm sure those were discussions that probably went on. And, you know, I would, for me to give up on Russell Wilson, I would need a lot more than just the first pick in the draft. But, again, I could see Cleveland making that phone call.
All right, that's a fun conversation, Mike. I appreciate you giving us the behind the scenes on the Brett Favre trade and how it applies to today. Mike Tannenbaum here on the Will Cain Show. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yep. Let me hear really quickly from Andrew in Memphis. What's up, Andrew?
Gentleman that called in a little earlier talking about the sacrifices that major league players make out of through their lives to make it where they are. Yeah, they make sacrifice, but the real sacrifice in the last 3 months is people like me that drive a truck for a living making $50,000 a year compared to the $3.5-4 million that they're still going to make even with their pay cut, that haven't been home in 3 months because their son has an immune deficiency. You want to talk about sacrifice? Go 3 months without seeing your kid or your wife, and then talk to me about a sacrifice because I'm trying to provide for my kid at much greater risk than these baseball players will ever have dealing with the public every day like I am. Don't ever, I'm really, really offensive that you would call and talk about a sacrifice over $4 million. It's sickening.
You're talking about the caller earlier.
Yes, sir.
All right, Andrew, two things. Thank you for the call. I totally appreciate what you're saying and appreciate what you're doing. You're making much greater, taking much greater risks for much lower upside. And we're supposed to sit here and act like, nah, baseball players need to get theirs. I share in your offended nature at that. I've got more phone calls. I want to hear from you. Plus, let's have a little fun this weekend. Let's lighten up the homework. Let's do this. Andrew's a trucker. He's somewhere around Memphis. Let's do this then. Road trip movies. That'll be our homework. Best road trip movies. Let's brainstorm it next on The Will Cain Show. Today on ESPN Daily.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Best road trip movies. I'm excited. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Hey, you missing baseball? Tune in tomorrow night for a Major League Baseball Classic Game 4, the 2013 World Series between the Red Sox and Cardinals, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I want to keep hearing from folks out there on the phone lines like Rex in Texas. What's up, Rex? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, Will. How are you doing?
I'm good, man.
Hey, listen, I'm an administrator for a hospice in Northeast Texas. In fact, I'm literally in my truck right now. I just drove 75 miles one way to pick up some personal protective equipment for our nurses, our doctors, our nurse practitioners, and to hear someone talk about sacrifice because they are only going to play a portion of a season and get a portion of their pay. Yeah, it's a little crazy in these times, but even if I go past the offensive part of it, like you stated, they're just not using common sense in relation to the market. They justify their salaries in relation to the market. When Mike Trout got a $400 million contract, that didn't offend me one bit because the market dictates that contract.
Exactly.
Well, now,
exactly.
Well, now the market dictates a cut in pay. Number one, you're working at best halftime. Number two, the TV deal is at best half what it was. You don't get any ticket gate. So that revenue is down probably $125 to $150 million per franchise just in ticket sales alone over the course of a regular season. So for them to say that and have just no sense of reality in relation to the market and what the market dictates, you can't have it both ways. You can't have the big salary and the big contract and say, well, the market dictates this, while on the other hand not have the reality of the situation that when the market dips, so does your salary.
Really good stuff, Rex. I appreciate the call. Appreciate what you're doing out there right now with your work. You're exactly right. But what will happen is reality will slap them in the face. It won't be some billionaire. It won't be a radio call-in show. It will be reality. The same reality that's hitting 30% of Americans right now with unemployment. Guess what? We're in an economic crisis unrivaled. Rivaled only since the 1930s. Maybe, just maybe, sitting on Twitch asking for your full $7 million isn't reality. I'll keep listening to your calls, 888-729-3776. Plus, coming up, speaking of taking cuts, Brady has for years. Do we think it's any coincidence it's also led to winning in New England? That's all coming up on The Will Cain Show. Homework will be, let's lighten it up. Psychological thrillers was fun, and nobody's complaining, Bubba. But let's lighten it up. Let's do a little road tripping. Mike A., who won last week, picked the category, the genre this week. He picked best road trip movies. So let's start the brainstorming. What's the big board have on it? Anyone have a nomination?
Well, you got to start off with National Lampoon's
Vacation.
Yep.
I think that's definitely going to be. Here's my question about that. So that is 1983, I believe. And I was looking at others like Smokey and the Bandit, which I'm going to go 80. And then there's Cannonball Run. My question would be, do they hold up? Now, every time I've questioned whether or not something holds up, those movies end up winning, like Silence of the Lambs.
You said you didn't think Jaws was going to hold up, and then it won.
I know, and I wondered about Silence of the Lambs, too, and it won. So I think I'm going to have to be a little easier on the hold up. What we're learning is quality. Chris from Virginia has one. What goes on the big board, Chris?
What's going on, guys? Big fan of yours. I'm a Cowboy fan too, Will.
Thank you.
I was thinking Tommy Boy, man. If y'all haven't said it already.
Without a doubt, Chris. I'll bet you. Here's my suspicion. I'll bet Tommy Boy goes. We only got 5 picks. Appreciate the call. I'll bet you Tommy Boy's one of those 5 picks. So what do we have? Smokey and the Bandit. Let's start the big board. I'm going to write them down. Smokey and the Bandit. Cannonball Run. Tommy Boy.
Dumb and Dumber.
Definitely. Dumb and Dumber.
The movie Road Trip.
Bubba, it's not quality though, right? Come on. I feel like I saw it. I just barely remember anything about
it.
It's not quality.
Austin, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
It has some. Tom Green brings it.
How about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? That's Road Trip, right?
That is a Road Trip. You have Euro Trip.
Great movie.
Is that a sequel to Road Trip?
No.
Okay. Feels like it. Nuno, you said one that I hope somebody picks. I'd like to rewatch Over the Top. Yesterday you said that. Definitely, I feel like Over the Top, a little Lincoln Hawk action. That's got to come in.
What about The Hangover?
The Hangover, is it a road trip movie?
I would argue it is.
We got to be careful now. That's I guess so.
The whole plot.
The Hangover's a road trip movie. We're going to be in trouble because it's a winner.
Is it? I don't know if it is.
Road trip part of it is the very beginning and the very end of the movie.
You have Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. Classic.
That's true. did you guys ever see Into the Wild?
Is that a road trip movie?
No.
It's a great movie. Yeah. Well, not great movie. It's a good movie.
It's not light. Here's one.
Borat.
I was thinking about this. Borat, definitely. Yes. Do you think Blues Brothers holds up? Blues Brothers is a movie I love, but I don't know if it holds up. You never saw it, Bubba? Did anybody else see Blues Brothers?
Negative.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but yes.
I'm afraid it might not hold up. I'm not sure.
Almost Famous?
I really liked Almost Famous when it came out. Little Miss Sunshine? Anyone?
I hated that movie.
Oh, okay. I won't pick that one then. All right, so we got a board. The big board's been started.
Would Midnight Run be considered one?
Not familiar. Don't know if I saw that.
Convoy.
All right, let's put them all up on the board. I'll get them all written out. We'll have them to draft a little bit later on the show. Taking less money. Even Brady. That's Will Cain.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.